IPSE leads the way.
IPSE.
One system, personnel, and pay.
IPSE.
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Excited for the podcast this month. This will be the first time where I get to be in the same room as everyone as we record this podcast. So welcome and thanks for joining me. For everyone else today, I have Captain Jimmy Palmer and Major Ali Akane with me here. Both of them work with data analysts on the program, but Major Akane also, you know, is a lead for one of our sections here. He oversees the application security team, some of the BI team, and the works with all of our interface partners, so making sure we get inbound and outbound information. So before we go any farther, I'll pass it along to you gentlemen to do some opening remarks.
Great. Major Akane is a bit more multidimensional than I am.
This is
Jimmy Palmer. I'm a data analyst on the program. I'm actually an infantry officer. So coming into the HR space and being taught a lot of awesome and wonderful things by the HR pros who use IPSE every day. I'll pass it over to Major Akane.
No, I don't know how to follow that one up, Jimmy, but my name is Major Ali Akane. I am a data analyst, just like Colonel Les just said. I am also an AG officer. I was branch detail infantry. Does that count, Jimmy?
It does.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, I think that's good. But no, I'm really excited, man, to talk about whatever you want to talk about today.
Yeah. I mean, like the first memory that comes to mind is the conversation we just had about the fact that Jimmy was not confident this AG colonel could actually get him to the program. I think he thought that I was a little bit crazy the first time I talked to him and said, don't worry, we'll get you here. No problems, Jimmy.
Don't let one bad experience count out the HR community. Your S1 shop knows what they're doing out there.
Oh, yes. Okay. So as we kick off the first show for this year, we want to recognize that this is also quickly approaching our third anniversary for Go Live to the Total Force. I want to start off by thanking everyone for your continued commitment to driving the change by using and improving the system. Without your inputs, we would not be able to make the progress that we have so far. I want to highlight a couple of the things that we've worked on over the last 90 days. A few updates or refinements to the DD Form 214, which is now executed out of IPSE. Updates on our soldier talent profile, also enabled the commander to approve waivers for investigations for flag types L and M, and then some functionality updates for the promotions assignment matching module, which the USAR uses today. As always, the team is continuing to focus on improving the soldier experience. To support those efforts, this quarter we had two significant updates. First was getting the addition of the personnel contact information into the system. So when a soldier gets placed on assignment, they have to fill out their member elections. Before they can complete that short survey, they must add their personnel contact information to help with their gaining unit's ability to provide support in that transition process and supporting onboarding and integration. Also, that short survey that we call the member elections, we also enhanced. So we added questions to that to speed up the process and make sure more of your entitlements are caught and met and put on the PCS order. You know, all of you out there with pets, now we've got a question to make sure you can annotate if you have a pet or not so we don't miss out on those entitlements. Over the next 3 to 6 months, the team is going to work diligently towards being able to subsume and take over the functionality for all the different orders writing systems we have there. Very heavy with the Compo 2 and 3, with adding the duty participation functions to IPSE. As I mentioned already, we've been live for 3 years, and during this time, we've made a lot of big changes for soldiers at every level. And while it's great to reflect on everything we've accomplished in the last year, it's also important to look ahead and talk about what's coming next. So that's why I have these gentlemen here with me today. They're going to talk through some of the changes coming and what you can see on the IPSE roadmap if you go to our website. Talk a little bit through our goals, milestone, tasks, and timelines that we have coming up. So I'll pass over to Jimmy to kick things off. Can you give us a high-level look at what the roadmap has coming for 2026?
Yes, ma'am, of course. 2026 will be another big year for IPSE. We plan to execute one-time payments, such as death gratuity and adoption expenses. this has caused us, and Major Akani probably in particular, a lot of data exchange with financial systems. We're also set to exchange data with AIE, so shout out to USAREC, to improve the efficiency of the enlisted accessions pipeline. Some big wins are coming for Compos 2 and 3 as we strive to make duty participation a more streamlined process instead of each component using their own system to do it. For the National Guard specifically, IPSA is currently redesigning how we process AGR Title 10 and Title 32 assignments, and that's going to provide commanders a lot better oversight of their formations and also reduce issues that some users are having with starting and stopping certain benefits. I also think when we're talking about certain benefits, ma'am, you mentioned individual order writing and IPSA expanding some of the types of individual orders that we produce. So that's very exciting and a huge focus with a deadline of somewhere on the summer.
Yes.
And I guess I have to plug that the roadmap is a fluid and living and breathing document. We often change the roadmap, and this is in the spirit of agile methodology. And really what we're trying to do is populate our roadmap with items that users want and help users in the field perform their jobs a little bit easier. It's kind of like end state in an order from higher. Mm-hmm. Is the way I look at it as maneuver person.
Yeah, I see the infantry in you.
I think it's useful because it provides the Army of an idea where, as a program, where we're headed.
What does AIE stand for? Can you remind folks out there what it stands for?
Sure, that was my fault, another acronym. Accessions Information Environment. And what that system is trying to do is from the moment someone is interested in recruiting or interested in joining the Army, there's a file kind of created on that particular person or candidate. Right now, the way IPSA handles business is with a system called ARIS. And essentially, there's files bouncing back and forth for months leading up to the service member actually enlisting, shipping to basic training, and then completing basic training and going to their first unit of assignment. That process, the way it is right now, is not particularly as efficient as it could be. And AIE is going to fill a void. AIE plans on streaming the information to us,
yes,
to IPSA, in a bit more concise of a manner. And that's really going to help us, fill vacancies, project strength, get people to the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be helpful. But ma'am, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think to your point about it changing often or seeing different versions and formats of it, as we've looked at, you can only have so many items on one roadmap for an entire year. So we've decided, using our agile methodologies, our planning increments, we do develop items at one quarter at a time, so 3-month segments. So we also just recently started doing a roadmap that's more detailed that will show you what we're working on in the next 90 days. So we just finished planning for this next 90 days, so expect to see that in the next couple weeks. And then I'm also very excited about that assignment redesign for everyone out there. It went into the system this past weekend, so we'll be looking for feedback on how that went. But
No, I think that'll be really big, ma'am. And just like to circle back real quick about Agile, it is very important because I know folks want to have like a set timeline and like know what's coming out 2-3 years down the road, but it's really important the way that we do the work here because we are able to put functionality out to the field very quickly and then get feedback and make changes and adjustments as necessary, as opposed to holding our breath for like 4 or 5 years and finding out that we don't like what comes out. So to your point, definitely big to be able to do it that way.
Yeah, just thinking back, the last 12 months, how many law, regulations, or policies changed?
A lot.
Being able to quickly react and adjust to those is key also. If we can't wait for 3 years, what we started with won't be what's needed in the end. So we're talking about the roadmap and talking about how it changes and stuff. Who is the primary audience, or why did we create this roadmap in the first place?
So I have a very general answer. The roadmap is for everyone. This speaks to why we kind of created the shorter term PI roadmap. I think though, some of the comments I'll go into, you might not want if you're in compos two or three, or you're sitting in a, I'll use this example. You're sitting in an S1 shop in an active component, you know, you might not really give a rip if the National Guard is doing an assignment redesign that may never affect you in the system, or you may not care if AORS is being divested. If you're a NCO in an S1 shop, you might not ever be, cutting orders for a direct hire. And so I think it's really great that we're going to dive a little bit deeper down and provide fidelity by the quarter, because I think even self-service users are going to see a lot more items that, you know, they might care about quite a lot more.
I agree.
Yes, for sure. All right. So looking at the roadmap, looking at the planning increments I already talked about and the agile methodology that we use, as IPSE continues to lean into agile, what does this mean for users in the field?
Sure. So the PIs align roughly with fiscal quarters.
And what are PIs again?
Program intervals.
All right. Thank you.
or planning?
Planning, sure.
You know, I think it's supposed to be
program. Potentially heard both. So
I've heard
know.
Both. It might be one
Delete
of them.
Delete that.
It's not even a
it's gonna be like because, we can't decide on what is
because going. People need to know
planning
what it
increments.
Is,
it's I in think. The script. It's okay. I fumbled there. As a fumble.
That's not a fumble.
So I guess each planning increment aligns roughly with the fiscal quarters. In each planning increment, there are 6 sprints, and these are 2-week blocks of time. Each sprint, IPSE is attempting to release functionality to the field. So every 2 weeks, you can expect a major change. And for users, you know, this really means you have to stay on your toes. I thought about this question a little bit, and I said, I'm an infantryman. When I need to learn something, I go and I go into the arms room and I pull out a TM from, you know, 1986 about the M2 50 cal, and it will show me how to maintain it and do all the things. And, you know, TMs are generally at it once every 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah, I think this is why training is important. And to your point, like if you wait or you think to yourself that you're going to be able to have everything be steady, I think what we're doing with Agile is we're trying to release more and more features like you see for your phone, like you see for everything else. And so in some cases, especially if you're an S1, it's really important that you're staying on top of your training. It's not like a fire once and forget, and now you know how the system works for forever. You know, the system is continuing to evolve as soldiers' needs evolve, as law, regulation, and policy changes. So it's really important that folks are going out and looking at the IPSE website, looking at the training materials that are provided, and staying on top of it. So it's definitely different from way back when, where a system never changed and you didn't have to worry about stuff. Things are getting better, so people have to learn it. I don't know if you agree with that, man, but that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in a BCT and the S1 shop is closed for training, I always thought, man, what are they doing in there?
They're actually doing
And
now stuff
I
now.
Realize every 2 weeks I were. Have to do training so I can do my job. so I really props to, you know, the HR pros and the community who's having to do that training and having to continuously learn, because it is tough and it is a big deal.
I'm going to take this opportunity to do a plug for Drive the Change. Every 2 weeks, we yes. release stuff every 2 weeks, and then we tell you about it the very next day, so you can see a demo of that new functionality and learn all about it. And then we put it in the user manual that mm-hmm. we're on version 17 of so far. So plenty of opportunities to learn about these items. So we'll link back to the roadmap briefly. Why do you think it's a useful tool for leaders that don't maybe interact with IPSE on a daily basis?
Yes, I mean, I'd say it's a great tool because it's a great way to stay abreast about upcoming changes to IPSE. Even for a month or two, you may not see something on there that affects your particular user persona, your unit, or even your component. But knowing when a change is coming is going to allow you to communicate with your commander months in advance, potentially, to allocate time to do training on that particular item that's coming out or feature that's coming out.
That's so true, Jimmy. And the other part is, ma'am, you talked about law, regulation, and policy, and we mentioned that we are in a very dynamic environment right now where things are changing really rapidly. So as a leader, when new policy comes out, I'm sure I would want to know what that means for my soldiers. And many a times, if you just look at the roadmap, you're able to see how IPSE is addressing those law, regulation, and policy changes so you can get ahead of it, like Jimmy's saying.
Yeah, we do try to work with all the policy creators to make sure that we're working on the functionality before it's released. But sometimes we are not able to get all the work done in a timely manner. You know, so we do have some automation in the works to help prevent the need for the field to do some manual work related to combat MOSs and the AFT. So that automation is coming and be something that we'll see in the near future. But right over the next year, we're going to see a lot of policy updates, and the roadmap is a great place to go look to see if IPSE is going to have that functionality released quickly to correspond to those. So today we're not going to get into super amount of details on a lot of items, but we will do a little bit of a snapshot of what you'll see on future episodes as we continue to build out the roadmap. A couple things that I want to give the audience a peek into are some of those updates that we have with policies, but also looking out there, we mentioned AIE. We do have the connection to AIE is on our roadmap for the next few months to try to make sure that we're hitting all the requirements to support Army senior leader policy items. So I was just going to maybe shift topics from AIE over to a couple of the items that the audience can expect more discussions about. And I'm thinking about the policy updates, but I'm also thinking about the different data update efforts. And I know some of you have probably saw the social media feedback we wanted for the improvements to the soldier talent profile. So that research is ongoing. We're not positive when we'll have that complete to be able to release changes to the STP, but we also have some pretty significant data modeling and data standardization efforts ongoing. Do you want to tell a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am, I can. So for a lot of folks, when IPSE went live, one of the things that bothered many people and still is a problem today is just the data, being able to have it be correct, having it be complete. And then because there are so many different systems in the Army, just trying to make sure that everything is saying the right thing across the board. Another part of this, ma'am, is when you start thinking about how we do force modeling and projections and just all the things that try and predict what's going to happen to the Army moving forward, we use different information for different things. And so we get different answers as a result. Our effort right now with HRC and the G1 and DMPM and others is to try and consolidate all that into one space and then have everyone follow the same template and format for what that data is. And what that means for the user is that we should have more consistent information across the board, no matter what system you're looking in. So it's really exciting. It's kind of nerdy what we're doing. But ultimately, by the summer, we should expect a lot of progress. It's not just going to be good for IPSE, but it's going to be good for everyone across the human resources domain in the Army, where for once we can see the same thing everywhere we look. And as easy as that sounds, it's really hard to do when there's so many different systems and people involved in that, man. But I think we're going to make progress.
Yeah, looking forward to having that one site picture so that the data-driven decisions that everyone wants to make have the same starting point.
Yes, ma'am.
Basis of information. One of the other big releases from last year that we're still working to complete the refinements are the DD Form 214. One of the biggest releases from last year. But, Jimmy, can you give us some of the updates that are looking forward to this year to continue to improve?
Absolutely. I think on this latest release, there was a recoupling update that occurred. So that occurs when an assignment is revoked by a field user due to a user that needs to make a fix or system errors. And the DD-214 is tied to this assignment that has just been revoked. And what this does is it sets the completed DD-214 to a pending cancel status. That's causing users, they're having to separate the service members and create a new assignment, which creates a new DD-214. The fix coming out is fixing that.
That process sounds like a lot of extra work and a lot of chaos and extra documents that we didn't need. So I'm glad we're able to make the update so that it's not so prevalent, and it probably affecting mostly that Compo 2 and 3 population than the active component guys. But either way, good news that we're continuing to make these improvements to support the field. So I'll ask to both of you, as we continue on with FY26 or starting this new calendar year, what things should the users be doing right now to prepare for the coming year?
I'd say that they should stay alert for changes, keep looking on social media, checking their Army emails, and communicating with other HR pros. Continue to train on the provided material, and use the system because it is your HR weapon system. And if you want to request a change, please submit a CRM case. We are always constantly trying to improve the system and deliver value to the users.
Well said, Jimmy. I don't know how to top any of that, but I think everything you said was true. And we really do need to make sure that our users know how to use the system. And if they don't know, you know, ask your S1. And if your S1 doesn't know, they have plenty of training materials. So if you're listening and your S1 says they don't know, they can go to the IPSA website and learn more about how to use the system. And like you said, I echo it. Like, just try your best to go out and see what the updates are going to be as they come out, because the system is constantly changing to try and make it better and easier for you to be able to have access to your record. And then I guess, like, don't forget your financial records review and your personal records review, and to just make sure that you look at your Soldier Town profile every once in a while to make sure that it's actually right, because that helps.
Make sure all your data is correct.
Yes.
If not, submit a CRM ticket or a personal action request for updates. Jimmy, I like your comments. Make sure alert to changes. Stay on the lookout. Also, we talked a little bit earlier about the onboarding and integration and trying to help improve that soldier experience. So please add valid contact information. Or is there it's a goal to allow people to reach out to help you as you transition from installation to installation. And I appreciate everyone's time today. And thank you, gentlemen, for your insights. Before we wrap it up, any final thoughts?
Sure. I think every NCO counterpart I've ever had would be proud of me that I talked a lot about training on the podcast. It really wasn't about training all that much. And I'd like to say, as somewhat of a HR outsider, that I've been really impressed by the agility of the AG Corps as a whole in adopting IPSE. I think HR pros have really demonstrated a learning orientation. I'm really big on self-starting for two people in the room that know me pretty well. You can really learn anything if you put your mind to it and make an effort to do it. And HR pros across the Army, across all three components, now have this idea embedded that part of their job is to continuously learn. And that's really powerful. That's a powerful mindset. You're never too old or too late to get after it and encourage others to do so. So thanks for the NCOs that are making this training happen.
Ma'am, for me, I echo what Jimmy says. Definitely impressed with all of our G1s and S1s out in the field that have figured out their own TTPs for how to get after things out there in the field. I think that it's really important to just stay the course. We're all in the system together, and we really want it to be great. We know that folks are working really, really hard out there in the field, and likewise here on the program, a lot of long days, long nights, trying to make sure that we answer all the questions. There are a lot more of you than there are of us, so if we miss anything, please, like Jimmy said, put in a CRM ticket. But other than that, just really happy to be here and be on the team.
Oh, thank you. Now, I remembered what I was going to say.
Okey-dokey.
I've got some shameless plugs to put in.
Okay.
So for all those training comments and the go see your S1 comments, I would also say, hey, you can check it out and learn yourself, because we do have something called IPSE Connect now. That's the place where you can go to find all kinds of products and tools that will help you on a daily basis. And if all else fails, everyone has access to the user manual inside of IPSE. So, you know, Control F works very well. I know it's a little intimidating because that thing is over 500 or 600 pages now. So we don't need to read it all in one sitting, but you can do Control F and try to find items. So I also want to say thank you for your time today. Also, don't forget, IPSE is here to stay. And thank you for joining us for this look ahead on what is coming to IPSE in 2026. Be sure you stay connected through our official IPSA channels and social media to keep up with all those upcoming releases and enhancements. Don't forget, again, about that Drive the Change every other Friday morning. And until next time, keep driving the change we need in our Army. And Happy New Year.
Red soldier, right job, right on time.
24/7, 365.